Today's scripture reading is taken from the gospel or the good news as recorded by John, chapter 6, verses 30 through 40. If you're here today and you do not have a Bible of your own, we invite you to take a sanctuary Bible from the chair in front of you. It's the gospel of John, chapter 6, beginning with verse 30. So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.' Jesus said to them, 'I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world.' 'Sir,' they said, 'from now on give us this bread.' Then Jesus declared, 'I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Amen.
Well, considering that verse 30 is in the middle of a conversation, it might be helpful if we did a little review of what precedes it. If you were here for the previous section, you'll recall that after Jesus fed the 5,000, that people began to actively search for him. And eventually they found him, and Jesus said that they had been looking for him mostly so they could be fed again. In other words, they were more interested in the food that was provided than they were in the one who provided the food. He admonished them and said that they should rather work for food that endures to eternal life and that doesn't leave them hungry in a few hours like normal food does. And then they follow up his words with a question. They asked, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" And we looked at the answer he gave, which was, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." Salvation is not about working. It's about believing. It's about believing in the one who has been sent. Which prompted yet another question from the crowd, which brings us to this week's passage, beginning in verse 30. So they asked Jesus, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" They're basically saying to Jesus, "You claim to be the answer to our need, so prove it. Moses was the man. He gave our forefathers manna from heaven to eat when they were in the desert." Now, you'll recall that manna was a rather strange food that God had provided for Israel to eat during their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, which was a direct divine judgment upon them. The food was so strange that when the Hebrews saw it, they gave it the name manna, which you'll remember means, "What is it?" They didn't really have any other word except to say, "That looks like, what is it?" So they called it manna. So these people in this crowd are saying to Jesus, really, "How can you compare yourself to Moses? Sure, you fed 5,000 people the other day. That would be 5,000 meals. But Moses provided manna for 1 million, at least 1 million Israelites every day for 40 years. That would be 14.5 billion meals. And you multiplied food that you already had. Now, that was impressive, but You're no Moses. After all, he started with no food at all. And he fed all these people for all these years. And you provided food that was earthly. Moses gave us bread from heaven. So, earthly bread versus heavenly bread. Jesus, we're not really all that impressed. But in verse 32, Jesus makes an important clarification to them. He says, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. Now, Moses was an important leader, to be sure, and he led at a very important time, and in specific, the specific instance of the time in the wilderness, giving instruction on the gathering of the manna and guidelines for its use. But it was God in heaven who gave the true bread from heaven. The source of the bread is God. It's not Moses. Then the crowd decides that they want this bread. Remember the woman at the well in Samaria? She said, Sir, give me this water. Now the crowd says, Sir, give us this bread. But more clarification is needed. So in verse 35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. People, the bread you need is not physical bread like your forefathers received when they were in the desert that helped sustain their physical life. No, you need much more than this. You need a different kind of bread entirely. In fact, the bread you need most is a person. I am that bread. Unlike manna, you won't get hungry again when I provide the bread that you need. You see, the bread I offer provides spiritual nourishment, and it lasts forever. The problem is, you don't believe me. You've heard my words, you've seen my works, but you still don't believe in me. The last four verses of this passage contain some very remarkable promises. It says, first of all, that there is this body of people that the Father has given to the Son as a gift. Look at verse 37. He says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. So there's a sense in which we as believers are a gift from God the Father to God the Son. Jesus is saying that all believers collectively are a gift to the Son of God, but that each one comes individually. That is, whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Verse 38 continues, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me, which does not mean that the wills of Father and Son clash. Jesus fulfilled the Father's will, and that was the Son's will too. Perfect agreement, perfect harmony. And what is this will exactly? Verse 39, and this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. So there is this collective body of true believers, millions of people, who collectively are given to the Son as a gift. And of this collective body, each one comes individually to the Son. And none of them, we're told, will ever be lost. Not even one of all that are given. They won't be lost before they come. They won't be lost after they come. In fact, they are so secure that Jesus says that he himself will raise them up on the last day. Now, you might be thinking, it looks like in some way God chose those who would be his. He did. And it looks like God chose us long before we chose him. He did. The Bible says, in fact, that God chose us before the foundation of the world. But it also looks like we chose him, doesn't it? Because it says, whoever comes to me. Sounds voluntary, doesn't it? Sounds like a free choice that each person must make individually. So how do we harmonize these two? Did God choose us, or did we choose him? Yes, both. The Bible teaches both, so both must be true, even if we are at a bit of a loss to fully comprehend how this can be. Now, verse 40 is truly amazing, the last verse we're going to look at before we come to the Lord's table. Here, Jesus says, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." He repeats it. He wants to make sure we get that he will raise us up at the last day. This, you see, God has determined. This is his sovereign plan, that everyone who looks to the Son, who believes in him, will have eternal life, and he will be raised up on the last day. So if anyone looks to Jesus as Savior and believes in him, that person has eternal life. Not physical, temporary bread that satisfies physically and temporarily, but spiritual bread that is found in Christ himself. The bread he gives is not like manna that spoils in a few hours or that melts in the hot sun. The bread Jesus gives is himself. He is the bread of life. So reliable, so permanent, so secure is this gift of life that Jesus gives us the solemn promise that he himself, on that last day, will raise us up. As he said in John chapter 11, "He who believes in me will live, what? Even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." They will never die spiritually. Of course, the raising that Jesus is talking about on the last day is, of course, referring to the raising of the body. When the material part of our being, which will someday wear out and die, you probably have already discovered if you're over the age of, say, 40. Started to say 30, but just to be safe. If you're over the age of 40, you realize that this body is wearing out and that eventually it will wear out completely. But on this last day, the material part of our being will be joined to the immortal part of our being, which God will provide, which will live forever. At that moment, the promise of 1 Corinthians 15 will be fulfilled when the perishable, we're told, will be clothed with the imperishable. When the mortal will put on immortality, when, as verse 54 says, death will be swallowed up in victory. I'm looking forward to that. Death will be swallowed up in victory. How can such a promise be made to believers? How can we be given such an extraordinary guarantee? Why will God never allow any true believer to ever be lost? Not even one of them. I'll tell you. Because God's reputation is at stake. Because God's honor is at stake. Because God's word and his promise is at stake. And because God's investment in his redeemed is at stake. His investment in you and in me. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, what extraordinary promises we've read about this morning. The promise that whoever comes to Jesus in faith, believing in him, has eternal life and will be raised up at the last day. Complete security, complete reliability of the promise, because it comes from you. And we have Jesus' solemn promise that whoever does come to him and whoever does believe in him not only has eternal life, but has the guarantee that someday, when even death seems to have finalized everything, we can be assured that we will be raised up. What an encouragement it is to us as we realize how uncertain life is, and what cause it is for worship and praise and thankfulness that we have received such a promise. And as we come to the communion table today, may we not only appreciate what you've done for us, Lord, but may we offer you our praise and even our lives in dedication to do what you've called us to do and to celebrate the marvelous gift that is ours. Meet with us here, we pray, at your table, where we remember and celebrate Jesus' gift of life to us. It's in his name that we pray.